Enjoyed all the singing today. Amen. It's rare that I don't enjoy the singing here at Fellowship Baptist Church. I appreciate those who use their talent for the Lord. It's a blessing to see people serve God with the talent and the gifts that God has given them. Well, I asked Pastor David to read some scripture to you because I want to use the scripture that's been read to you to kind of spring into a section of scripture in the book of Nehemiah. So if you would take your Bible and turn to that book, I want to give everyone an opportunity to find your place in the book of Nehemiah chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter 4 is where we'll start as far as the teaching. We'll flip back to chapter 2 just for a moment so you can get an idea of where God's taken us this morning. I've been praying about some things about what God would have us to do in our Sunday morning services as far as studying the Bible and current affairs that's going on, a lot of people getting distracted and just a lot of things going on in our world. And sometimes as believers, if we're not careful, we'll get distracted with them and we'll forget that there is a force behind the things that are taking place that's unseen to the natural eye. So I want to talk to you about our enemy, Satan. He's very real. Amen. He's very real. And he is at work. Now, I'm going to talk to you about some things this morning. We'll probably over the next 4 or 5 Sunday mornings be talking about the forces of evil and wickedness. Listen, I don't have to go into great detail. Just flip the news on. Right. Just walk out to a street corner and watch them make exchanges. Somebody walk up to the car, a little fist, and then walk away. And you can watch them exchange drugs on most major city corners, turn tricks. A lot of things going on in our world that's just very vile. Murder, wickedness, malice, suicide. I started to say abortion, but it's murder. That would come under the term of murder. Today, there'll be thousands of murders to take place in our state, our country. Just a lot of wicked things going on. I've been studying in 2 Timothy, and Paul had wrote the preacher, young Timothy, and he said, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come." And then he began to give a picture of how those perilous times would play themselves out, and we'll get to that at some point in our study. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about our enemy. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about drug usage, not today. I'm not going to talk to you about the wickedness that you could see on a street corner or the wickedness that you could see in the back alley, a slum area, just crack house. We could go on and on and on. So, well, I don't know anything about that. Well, it might be good to read up a little bit on it so you'd know what's going on in the world that you live in. It's very real. There are people in bondage all around us. I mean in bondage. Are you listening? Enslaved to a bottle, whether it be a liquor bottle or a pill bottle. It's about as easy to get prescribed drugs as it is black market drugs. But either way, it's easy to get them, and there are people that are taking them by the handfuls. And their lives are spiraling out of control. Think about our young people. I look into the faces of a lot of young people today. I don't see a lot of joy. As a matter of fact, I don't see a lot of joy in many people's faces at all today. It seems like joy has been zapped out of the life of many individuals. Folks are no longer really living life. They're just kind of existing. What a terrible way to go through this present, this gift that God has given us called life. And yet it's real. And I sympathize. I'm not saying that in a pharisaical or hypocritical way. I sympathize with people that wake up every day with very little, if nothing, to live for. It's sad. Brethren, can I tell you, that I've been there. I know what it is to go to sleep at night and nobody know but God and me what it is to cry myself to sleep. Get up the next day and feel that I had very little to nothing to live for. But I'm glad all that changed October the 26th, 1980. I got born again. Jesus made a difference in my life. And while I'm not all I should be, and I want to go on record saying that now, I'm not all I should be. Thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved in the grace of God. I know what it is to have joy in my heart. I am living large because of the grace of Jesus Christ. No good of mine now. Nothing that I have done. It's all because of God's grace. God has called me to do a work, but He's called you to do a work too. That's why I wanted it read in your hearing this morning that we are His workmanship. See, a lot of times we quote that Ephesians 2, 8, 9, thank God we're saved, right? Thank God we're saved, and thank God that it's by grace that we're saved. It's not of our works. We can't boast in that. We stop there, but now we are His workmanship. See, God saved me to work. He saved you. He's got a work for you. God has a work for you. So we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But now as we begin to work, the devil wants to stop us. Now if you're here and you're saved, or you're listening today and you're saved in the grace of God, let me remind you of something very simple, but you need to be reminded of this as I do from time to time. And that is, when you're saved in the grace of God, you've been born again, and there is absolutely nothing the devil can do to change that transaction. That is a heavenly transaction. God saved you in His grace. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there is nothing that the devil can do to change that. Nothing. But I tell you what He will do. See, when God saves us, He has a purpose for us. With pardon comes a purpose. It's one of the greatest fulfillments you'll ever experience. When you get saved in the grace of God, that's a great experience. But it goes beyond just the pardon. God places in your bosom a burning desire to fulfill your purpose here on earth.
Amen.
Oh, listen, when you begin to hook in and to, listen, to get into what God has for you here on this earth, it makes all the difference. Amen? That's why there's a lot of folks with long faces. They're just going through life, existing, bouncing from one experience to the next. No aim, no direction, no cause, no purpose. But when you get hooked in to what God has for your life, it picks up. You get up the next day ready to go to work for the kingdom. Ready to go to work for the master. Say, is every day a good day? Well, you know, I'd say in the great scheme of things it is, but that doesn't mean there's no problems. Amen? Doesn't mean there's no hardships. Doesn't mean there's no trials. Doesn't mean there's no burdens. But it does mean that He will never leave you nor forsake you, and that He's with you and I each step of the way. Jesus is there. And what a great comfort that is. Well, God's called me to do a work. God's called you to do a work. God's called us to do a work individually and collectively right here at Fellowship Baptist Church and in your community, wherever you live, in your family, in your home. But we have an enemy, and he's going to try all that he can to try to stop us from doing that work. See, he can't get you back now. You don't belong to him anymore. You've been born. You've been born out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. See, you belong to God now. But the devil's going to try to keep you. He can't rob you of that pardon. You've been pardoned. But he's going to try to rob you of that purpose. And that's what I want to talk to you about. The enemy. It's trying to stop you from fulfilling your purpose, God's work in your life. I could find no greater example than the book of Nehemiah. The Bible says, as you heard this morning, as I hope you read alone in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. So I want us to look at some of the things that God has exposed the devil in His book, in particular in the book of Nehemiah. Some of the devices that the devil will use to rob you and to rob me and to rob us of God's purpose for our life. We'll just skim through some of them. Won't go into much detail in any of them, but I want you to know the devil is at work in these areas. And be aware. Be aware of these things. Write them down. Mark them in your Bible. So we get over to chapter 2 of Nehemiah, and we find this out, okay? We find out in chapter number 2 of Nehemiah, look at verse number 17. In the latter part of chapter 2 of Nehemiah, in verse number 17, Nehemiah said this. He said, "Let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach." In other words, we have a work to do. God has given us a work. Now, I want you to see something, okay? This work that Nehemiah speaks of, it's a work that God put on his heart. It was in his heart. Look, if you would, over in chapter 2, just for a moment. In chapter 2, you'll see where he said that God is going to strengthen, in verse number 18, the latter part of that, he said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. You see that? He said they strengthened their hands. God's going to use them to do this work. Just as soon as that was declared, trouble starts. Just as soon as it was declared. When you make a decision in your life, and listen, it is a decision. I'm going to serve God with my life. If you've never made that decision, you need to make that decision today. Say, "Well, I'm saved, preacher." Well, the Bible says you ought to present your body a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, right? It's a reasonable service. And if you've never laid your life on the altar and said, "God, I'm yours, I want to serve you with my life," you ought to do that today. But I'm going to tell you something. The moment you do, the enemy's coming. He's coming. And he's going to do everything he can to thwart, to try to keep you, to try to keep me, to try to keep us from doing the work of God. Let's look at some of the devices of the devil this morning, okay? Turn over, if you would, into chapter number 4. This is the first one. And I'm just going to skim through these, so I want you to mark them down and look at them later on in your own personal study. Look at verse number 1 through 3. It says, "It came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth." In other words, here's a group of people said, "We're going to do a work for God." And then the enemy says, "Okay, so you're going to do something for God, are you? Well, we're going to have something to say about that." The enemy always acts this way. And so here was Sanballat, and he said this. He heard that we built the wall. He was wroth and took great indignation. Now, here's one of the devices of the devil. Don't miss this. Here's one of the devices. Look what they did. They mocked. They mocked. I have written down derision. That's contempt. See, when you make up your mind, "I'm going to do something for the Lord," there are going to be people laugh at you. I don't know what it is about mankind, but we can't stand to be laughed at. You know, the moment somebody laughs at us, we take great offense to that. You know, we get serious about something. We tell somebody, "I'm going to serve God in my life," and they laugh and they joke and they jest about it, and we get all defensive and say, "Well, you know, you'll see when you burn in hell and this and that and that." Hey, listen, that's not the attitude we should take. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to laugh at me. They don't understand what we're doing. They're in darkness. He said here, he said in verse number 2, he said, "And he spake before his brethren as the army of Samaria, and he said, what do these feeble Jews?" He said, you know, that church down there means nothing. We live in a world where folks feel the same way today. What these people are doing here, it means nothing. These old feeble Jews, these old people down there building that wall of Jerusalem, listen, that work means nothing. They went on to say, if you'll look in verse number, the latter part of verse number 2, it says, "Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" That old time religion doesn't mean anything anymore. Church is dead. Church is antiquated. That preaching doesn't mean anything anymore. Those days are gone. I'm going to tell you, those days will never leave. Amen. You mark it down. Never. Amen. Never. God will always have a man preaching his word. Always, always has, and always will. He said, well, you know, those days are over. Look at verse number 3. "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they do build, if a fox go up, he shall even break it down, break down their stone wall." It's nothing. It's not eternal. It means nothing. Right? It won't stand. Let them work down there at the end of the road at Gate Road. Let them build over there on the new property. It won't amount to nothing. Hey, I'm here to tell you, it will amount to something. There's going to be lives changed. Already has been, and there's going to be more. Why? Because God has given us the victory. We're not asking God to give it to us. He's already given it to us. So he said right here, derision, ridicule. Don't you let folks laugh. Well, you know, you're a bunch of Baptists going down there to the church, and, you know, you're wasting your time. Well, I think you're wasting your time at a bar.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
We want to get into good time management. We can talk about that some. But I'm not in a competition with you. God's called me to do a work, and I want to stay focused on the work. I don't want the enemy to distract me. Right? So he said here, you can expect it now. You're going to build a bus route. You're going to build a Sunday school room. You're going to build an orchestra. You're going to build a youth group. You're going to build a juniors department. You're going to build something for God. Hear me now, hear me. You're going to do something for God, people's going to mock you. They're going to mock you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to say that you're spinning your wheels and you're wasting your time and that nobody wants to hear it anymore. But somewhere behind some door, somebody is waiting on someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ to tell them about Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And it's up to you and I to go find them.
Amen.
And so it said here, derision. Write that word down. Circle that word mocked in your Bible and expect it. The enemy's going to use it. We are not ignorant of the devil's devices. How often has Satan tried to use people mocking and making light and telling us that it's not going to amount to anything? But God said it's going to. And God said he would be with us. And God said he's going to build it through us. Let's look on down now. Well, that didn't work. The people kept working. Go on down into chapter number 4. Look at verse number 10. Well, I have to back up to verse number 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. In other words, we just kept right on working. We prayed and kept working. Amen. That's what you do when people start laughing at you. Listen to me, young people. When people laugh at you and they say, well, you know, your parents are just religious this and religious that, and you're just, I feel sorry for you. Well, I feel sorry for folks who are not in church. I feel sorry for people who don't know God. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Your Heavenly Father created everything. You hold your head high. Amen. Now listen, I'm not saying make fun or make light or put down those folks, but you don't have anything to hold your head down about. It's not your father that's a murderer and a liar. Listen to me now. It's not your father that has come to destroy, to kill, and to steal. That's the father of the world. That's Satan. Don't you hold your head high. That's not your father. Your father is your father in heaven. He gives life. He's full of grace and kindness and goodness and tender mercies. You hold your head high and be thankful that you belong to such a father. Well, when that didn't work, notice the next tool of the devil. Look in verse number 10. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Discouragement. We can't do this. Right? We can't do it. It's just too big for us. I got to tell you, I've said it many times from this pulpit. It wasn't long after I got saved. I just remember riding down the road and thinking, wow, I got into something big here. This thing just kept opening up and opening up, and I just kept learning more about God and who he was and what he could do. I just was overwhelmed. What a God I've gotten in contact with. What a God I've gotten in business with. God is in the business of changing lives. What a great business to be in. I just was overwhelmed with that, and I said, my. These folks here became discouraged at the bigness and the hardness. Look what it says. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. In other words, sometimes when you're doing the work of God, you get tired. You get weary. You get up and drive those buses, or you get up and teach those Sunday school classes and prepare, and You witness to people and you study and you minister to people, and sometimes it's taxing on the body and the mind, right? And though we may get tired in the work, thank God we never get tired of it. I want to go on record today and say this is the greatest work in all of heaven and earth. The work of God, the work of the kingdom, the work of Jesus. What a great work we're involved in. What a great work. No wonder Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. It's a great work we're in. He said, but you know, there's times you're going to get tired now, and you're going to get discouraged. He said in verse number 10, look at it there. He said, the strength of the bearers of burdens. There was discouragement. I want you to look. It says, I think it's in verse number 6. Look back at verse number 6. So built we the wall and all the wall. You're there, chapter number 4 and verse number 6. So built we the wall and all the wall was joined together into the half. They got about half of it done. And they got tired. And they got burdened down. And they got discouraged. And they needed some encouragement. Thank God for good leadership. I want you to notice what Nehemiah did. This is just really encouraging to me. In verse number 14, right in the middle, Nehemiah charged them up. He said, you remember the Lord. You remember what purpose and what cause is at stake here. This is not about the Freeman name. This is not about the Imboden name or the Merriman name or the Dean name. This is about Christ's name, you see. And he said in verse number 14, he said, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. That word means awesome. God is awesome. Amen. He said, you're involved in an awesome work. Don't get discouraged and quit now. You say, well, preacher, I'm ashamed to say, but there's been times I've gotten a little discouraged and I felt like quitting. Haven't we all? But thank God. Thank God for that word of encouragement just in time. Thank God for that thought of what we're doing and why we're doing it and who we're doing it for. Amen? Amen. So he said here, don't you be ignorant now to the devil's devices. The devil wants to discourage you. The devil wants to deride you, keep you in derision, wants to mock you, make you feel like that what you're doing is meaningless and has no impact. When that didn't work, look, if you would, and he always does this. Look at verse number 11. Our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Now, you see, there's some folks sitting here say, well, you know, the devil, he's not that bad. You don't understand our enemy, do you? He's a murderer. You take everything heinous and wicked you've ever heard of in your life and you multiply that by infinity and you've got the work of the devil. You take everything that is heinous and wicked and sorry and low life, and you multiply that by more than you could even think of, and that's the work of Satan. That's who we're up against here. I want you to understand that. The kingdom of darkness. You think he cares about that little child out there? You think he cares about those that are hurting and going through pain and turmoil and trouble? He doesn't care. He doesn't care if your home is ravaged and wrecked. He doesn't care if you have food to put in your mouth, clothes to put on your back. You think he cares? What's he saying here? The devil will send people to take physical action against you. Brother Greg was telling me that we're about to get our sign over there. I hate to tell you all this, but the last church sign that I had erected got shot out with buckshot because I told a man to his face it was sin for him to live with a woman outside of being married. 2:00 in the morning, me and Sharon was in bed. Boom! I got up, ran to the window, and I said, I don't know what that was, but I noticed it. It's not as light outside as it used to be. We live next door to the church. Man then rode by and I seen taillights fading away as I got to the window. Man then rode by the church and blew our church sign out. And let me know. I'm coming after you. You said it scare you? Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. It made me think a little bit. Hey, man, I slept with my pistol under my pillow. I'm serious. The devil will come after you. Oh, preacher, the devil won't come after you. He's already come after folks. Listen, don't you think now that he'll stop at anything. He doesn't play fair. He doesn't play fair. So, well, you know, a fair fight. I've never heard of such thing in all my life. We're in, you say, I'm afraid the Biden administration is going to get us in war, preacher. We're already in war. Hey, can I tell you, if you're thinking that we're not in war, you're missing it. We're in a spiritual warfare. We're in a warfare. There's a lot at stake here. He said here, he said, our adversaries in verse number 11, he said, they're coming after us. And he said, they're not going to stop. They're going to slay us. Why? They don't like the work that we're doing. Got to shut that voice up. We don't want to hear from God. We've got God out of our school. God's out of half the churches. Amen now. God out of our country. We got to shut those voices down. We don't want a preacher standing up preaching about the enemy and preaching about sin and preaching about hell and preaching about judgment and preaching about heaven and the love of Jesus and how it can change a life and how it can turn around a family. Hey, we don't want that. We got to shut that stuff down. The only way you're going to shut me up is put me under. Amen. I mean that with all this in me. How about you? Oh, Nehemiah stood and he said, hey, we're not quitting, boys. We're not quitting. I like what Nehemiah did. After they threatened him, he said, oh, no. He said, you done threatened the wrong person now. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. Verse number 13, the latter part of it says, Nehemiah said, I had a strategy. He said, I put some swords and some spears and some bows. You see that in verse number 13? Now look over, if you would, in verse number 16. He said, there was some spears and some shields and some bows and some habergeons. And he said in verse number 17, he said, I put a trowel or a working instrument in one hand and a weapon in the other. We're going to watch and pray. We're going to build and battle. We're not stopping. We'll fight with one hand and build with the other. Amen. We're not going to stop. You can't intimidate us to stop. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. Brethren, we've got a bunch of folks cowering down and shutting up and shutting down shop and closing up, saying, well, we might as well turn it over to the liberals, preacher. Hey, over my dead body, and I mean that with all this in me. Going to preach the word. Going to preach the Bible. Going to go after souls. Going to keep supporting missions. Going to keep loving young people. Going to keep involved in what God has called us to do. Amen. Amen. That's right. He said here in verse number 14. I was reading this last night, and I got to tell you, I got plumb excited. I was crying, and I had all kinds of emotions going on in my heart. Look, if you would, in verse 14. He said, I looked, and I rose up, and I said to the nobles and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people. I think that just about covers everyone. And he said here, he said, be not afraid of them. That's my message to you today. Hey, preacher, the old devil, he's got this and he's got that, and he's in captured Washington. He's in got our governors, and he's in got our senators, and he's in got control. I tell you one place he don't have. He don't have Fellowship Baptist Church by the grace of God, and there's other churches like us. He doesn't have us by the grace of God. God always will have a remnant. I said, God will always have a remnant. Amen. You just keep doing what you're doing for the glory of God. Amen. And old Nehemiah said, look at it. He said, remember the Lord. Don't you be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. He said, he's great and terrible. I like this. Fight. 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 Where's the fight anymore? Amen. Fight. Amen. Don't lose your fight. Don't let the devil wear you down. Amen. Don't let him shut you up. Amen. Don't let him put you out of business. Fight. Fight. Amen. He said, fight for your families. Look at it. Fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your houses. Don't you give Satan your children. Amen. Don't you give Satan your heart. Amen. Don't you give him your wife. Amen. Don't you give him your husband. Don't you give in your church. Amen. Fight. Amen. Fight. Amen. Fight. Amen. We need some fight, brethren.
Amen.
We've lost our fight.
Amen.
He said, fight. Amen. I'm telling you about our enemy. Yeah, preacher, you must have took a tablet last night. No, this is not a tablet. God's done riled me up. Brethren, I'm about sick and tired of folks telling God's people how to do it. We have a book that tells us how to do it.
Amen.
I don't need them up the street telling me how to do this.
Right.
This book right here tells me how to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Would to God that every one of you would stand up and shout, amen. Amen, preacher. Preach the book, amen.
Amen.
Fight.
Amen.
Fight. Well, you know, preacher, the devil's after my wife. Don't give the devil your wife.
Right.
Well, he's after my husband. Don't give the devil your husband. Well, he's after our children. You pray the protective hand of God on them. You get in the holy, listen, the holy of holies, the secret place, and you cry out to the God of heaven and fight for those babies, amen.
Amen.
Don't you give the devil your children.
Amen.
The only way he'll get them is if you give them to him. Don't you do it now.
Amen.
You might have to shut off the TV. You might have to shut that computer down. Put that phone on silent. Listen to me now.
Amen.
Get along with God and say, God, I'm bathing these babies in prayer. And I'm not going to turn them over to the wicked one. I'm not going to turn them over to this world system. I'm going to dress them like little girls if they're girls. Say amen now. Going to dress them like little boys if they're boys. It's okay to say boy and girl.
Amen.
Him and her.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the House done passed legislation, preacher. The House is not controlling this place.
Right.
Heaven is.
Right.
Amen.
Say, preacher, do you mean all that? With all that's within me. Well, I must hasten on. I'm on point three and I got 8 points. We're not going to doctor today. Let me give you just a couple more, okay? Derision. They'll mock you. I've been mocked. I'm going to be honest with you. Listen, I'm transparent. Most of the time. There's times I try to hide things. I'm human. But I, for the most part, I try to be transparent. Mockery, people laughing at you, it'll bother you some. So young people, don't think now, well, you know, I must not count because when people laugh at me, it makes me want to back up and quit, preacher. Well, you know what? We adults will be honest with you. It's made us want to do it a time or two, too. You ask God to give you strength and get you a donor. The Holy Ghost will give you a backbone. Holy Ghost is a great donor. He'll give you some spine, amen. He will. And you say, give me some wherewithal to stand in the face of mockery for my Lord. He was mocked for me, and I don't want to be ashamed to be mocked for him if that's what he wills. Derision. Number two, discouragement. We get discouraged. All of us do. But don't let it cause you to quit. Number three, danger. There's people going to threaten you. There's people already threatened this church. Your pastor's been threatened. That's not slowing me down. That's not slowing me down. As a matter of fact, it kind of fires me up. See, I take it personal because I know who you're working for, my friend. I know who you're working for. And I'm not talking about the corner business down the road either. I'm talking about that business out of the fiery pit of hell. And that fires me up. I'm not being reckless here, but I'm being straightforward. Don't bring your threats to this preacher. That if we don't quit thus and thus and change thus and thus, you're going to do thus and this. We're going to do it the way God said do it, by the grace of God.
Amen.
By the grace of God now. We want to do it with a humble spirit. We want to do it with the right attitude. But we're not going to let the world tell us how to do church.
Amen.
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 Let's get this last one in here. And I'll pick up on this next Sunday, the Lord willing. The Lord willing. Distraction. Distraction. Notice if you would in chapter 6. Look at verse number 1. In chapter 6 and verse number 1, it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, "Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono." But they thought to do me mischief. What's happening here? And those people don't fold. That's what the enemy's saying. These people don't fold. We tried derision, they kept right on building. We tried discouragement, they kept right on building. We threatened them, they kept right on building. As a matter of fact, if you'll turn back just for a moment in chapter number 5, they done what a lot of is ruined a lot of churches. Some of you've seen it, been a part of it. I know I was. When I was first saved, I was a part of a church that split wide open. I wasn't the pastor, I said I was a part. It can happen. It's a terrible testimony to the community. Terrible. Look in chapter 5 just for a moment. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against who? Chapter 5, verse 1. The brethren. The brethren were out in the church parking lot, and I'm using today's vernacular, fighting and fussing and carrying on. You think the folks in this community are not watching what's going on right here on this property? And you let them hear just for one moment that the preacher and the deacons or the assistant pastor and the preacher's out having fussing and fighting and all kinds of quarreling going on. And they broke out the boxing gloves and went about 12 rounds at that business meeting the other night. Hey, let me tell you something. That is killing our churches. It's killing them. When the devil couldn't bring the outside against them to get them to stop, he caused some stuff going on the inside. And he's still doing it today. If you're not careful, you'll leave here one service and you'll think, you know what, I don't think the preacher likes me anymore. Why? Well, you know, I noticed the way he looked at me when he was preaching. Can I tell you, when I look into your face when I'm preaching, all I see is God's going to judge me for what I'm saying today. I got to stand before God for what I'm preaching today. I got to look at something when I'm preaching. Amen. You're it. But yet the devil, and you know what I'm saying, so will say, you know, I think the preacher, which sometimes is the devil, I think that the preacher was talking directly to me. Well, sure I am. Why did you come?
Right. Amen.
And then if you leave and I'm standing there and I don't say anything, then the devil say, I don't think he likes you. Why? I don't think that the preacher wants to talk to me. So if I'm talking to you, the devil says, I think he's talking right to you. If you walk by and I don't speak to you, I don't think he wants to speak to you. That's the devil. And he won't just do it with the preacher. He'll do it with the person sitting next to you, across from you. You know, I don't think that little clique likes me. They won't talk to me. And there may be a clique. Let me tell you what I think about cliques. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. I can't stand cliques. That's junior high school stuff. Amen. That's junior high. Say, no, wait a minute, that preacher, you might be talking about somebody in your family. Junior high. I'm going to say it louder for my family. Junior high.
Amen.
That's junior high stuff. Amen. The enemy will use it, though, won't he? He'll make you think, well, they don't like me. I want to go ahead and clear this up right now. Let me look around here and make sure. I love everyone in this building. I didn't have to look around to say that. I love you. You may catch me when I got 1,000 things on my mind. I may look right at you and you speak to me I don't hear you. I love you. I pray for you. I care about you. I care about your family. I think my record speaks for itself. I don't want to make this about me. You love one another. I think the unity of this church speaks for itself. Are we all BFFs? No. But we're all one body. We love one another. We pray for one another. We're in ministry together. God has a work for us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Well, if distraction, discord can't get us, I'll just mention this one. Chapter 6, verse 5. We'll stand to our feet right after this. I want to read this to you because this is a concern of mine, and so I want to get it in just in case I don't come back to this. Are you writing these things down? See, this is the way the devil works. We're not ignorant to his devices. All right? You say, well, now, preacher, would the devil use derision? Would he use contempt and mockery? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you don't have to be junior high for him to use that. You'd be a full-grown man, and somebody laugh at you, and you're ready to break out. I mean, put your dupes up. Bring it, right? You're not going to laugh at me, mister. Right? Yeah. Derision. Discouragement. The devil uses that. So how many people do you know right now that's out of the fight because of discouragement? They're out. They got discouraged. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Danger. Threatening people. We'll take you out. We'll shoot your church sign out. Yeah. We'll go in their churches and start shooting people. We're going to shut them churches down. We'll pass bills and laws that they can't congregate. Yeah. Absolutely. We're going to shut that voice up one way or the other. I'm going to tell you something. If you think you can shut the mouth of God up, you're a bigger fool than what it appears.
Amen.
You're not going to shut the voice of God up.
Amen.
Discord, distraction. Are you in chapter 6, verse 5? I won't say a whole lot about this, but I'm going to just mention it, and I want you to go home and read about it. Look at it. Chapter 6, I said verse 5, but look at verse 6. It's verse 6. Wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen. Verse 5 talks about the enemy, Sanballat and his servant, came the five times. You there? Verse 5? Five times they came. They had this open letter. Now you'll know in the Old Testament, they sealed letters, but this is like a petition. It's an open letter. And they're trying to get a petition of people to come against them. And here it is. Don't miss this. What's one of the devices of the devil, preacher? Don't miss this now. Defamation. We're going to slander you. Look at what they said here. Wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen. It's been rumored, preacher, that somebody in the congregation, a Fellowship Baptist Church, blah, blah, blah. See, you get to serving God, and people start getting saved, churches starts growing, and then somebody's going to start something on you. Might be me. Might be you. Now listen, I'm not excusing sin. I believe if a man sins against God, God will not only judge it, God will expose it. Because you can be sure your sin will find you out. But now you be real careful about what you hear. Look at it one more time, verse number 6. This open letter that they had brought five times in verse number 5 says in verse number 6, it is reported not among the brethren, among the heathen. You know, those folks that mock you. Those folks that can't understand why you're down there wasting your time at the end of the road, why you're giving thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars to missions so you can win the red, yellow, black, and white to Jesus. That crowd's never darkened the door of a church, never give a dime to the cause of Christ, never one time give a thought to their own soul, but they want to say, it's been reported among the heathen that somebody down there in the congregation is not just doing all right. You got to be careful about that. You listening? Because the devil will use it. He'll use it. Say, well, preacher, I heard something about you. Might have been true. I'll tell you one way you can find out. Come see me after the service and I'll let you know. Amen, Brother Barry. You want to know something about me, don't ask Barry. And if you want to know something about Brother Barry, don't ask me.
Amen.
You be careful about that. It's been reported.
Right. Yeah.
Well, now we heard. Who'd you hear it from?
Right.
Yeah.
You're
on the wagon.
Amen. I don't want to fall off. We have to be careful, don't we, brethren? These are devices, and there's some more in this. We'll come back to this. Did you write those words down? I'm not saying that bad doesn't happen in church. God knows I'm not saying that. It does. I'm sorry to report it. It does. I'm sorry to report that. But now, before you go repeating something, you need to check your sources. Be careful. Be careful. Let's stand to our feet. We have an enemy, brethren.
Yeah.
You listening?